We arrive here today to debate at social distances from each other.
There's no doubt that the old politics of the two-party system is now gone and over.
An equal partnership, there would have to be parity of esteem, and we'd have to work in partnership together.
We're very reluctant to say what's red lines, but we do have to take climate seriously.
There's going to be constant criticism, there's going to be a lot of disappointment, and whoever goes into government is going to be unpopular.
Okay. Hello, and you're very welcome to your politics podcast on RTE News. And we're here broadcasting from Leinster House. Delighted to have you along. In studio with me is Sandra Hurley from the Political Division. We also have Fiacra O'Ciona. He is by remote. And our elder lemon today is Micheál Lehan, our political correspondent. Sandra Hurley, if I can start off with you. We were talking about something last week called government formation and the week before. And we promised that there would be something substantial definitely to say by this Thursday. Just exactly where are we at?
Yeah, I think at one stage I said it would be done by the end of last week. So it's astonishing that it's going on so long. It's clear that there's a huge number of sticking points at this stage. I think we're into the fourth week of negotiations, and the running count is it's 117 days since the election.
So 117.
117. So still lots of problems, still lots of issues being ironed out. The leaders being brought in earlier this week again to discuss things. But it's taking a really long time. And I know that one of the problems is that they can only gather for 2 hours at a time. And to be fair, that is slowing things down. Will we have a programme for government by early next week? That seems to be a sort of a final deadline now, because there is a raft of legislation that really has to be brought in June. There's some financial stuff. There's that stuff about the Special Criminal Court. So the deadline is absolutely looming. But we don't seem to have agreement on emissions, how that will be dealt with in terms of agriculture. There's issues around the carbon tax, you know, how you might do the Greens want it.
That big word begins with H.
Yes, yes. Hypothecation, is that how you pronounce it?
That's the Fianna Fáil way.
Exactly. They want to ring fence it, and the Green Party wants to give the money back to people so they can have a clear idea that they're sort of getting that money back. So those are big questions, and they don't seem to be resolved yet.
Fiacra O'Ciona, if I can bring you in by remote in this COVID-19 socially distant world that we live in, one of the interesting things will be the independents and what role they may or may not play. There seemed to have been some clarity emerging yesterday as a result of a meeting between independent group TDs and the three leaders of Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael and the Green Party. Tell us more about that and where things currently stand.
Yes, well, that clarity, you're right, it is becoming clearer what the situation would be for the three independent groups. And it's not necessarily something that they would have been happy about waiting 117 days to hear. So in 2016, in effect, the independents who went into government, that's the Independent Alliance, and then also the Unaligned Independents, Dennis Nocton and Catherine Zappone, they in effect held the balance of power in the Dáil. So they were able to get into government and able to make that historic step themselves because of the difficult numbers in the Dáil. In 2020, of course, there are still difficult numbers in the Dáil. There's still basically a dead heat between three parties in the general election, which seems so far ago. But the story is different for the independents this time around. They don't have the balance of power, and that's what's turning up in both yesterday and today in talks between the three parties. So the Greens, Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil firstly met with the independent group, that's Marian Harkin's group, yesterday, and they basically said, look, you're not going to be coming in as a full-scale coalition partner. You're going to be in opposition, and we may do some kind of deals to get your support on certain votes. And they weren't too happy about it, particularly Michael Fitzmaurice, who was on with our colleagues at News at One earlier today, and he was basically saying that, look, they've been given a fait accompli, or as he put it, he's saying that it's like the Bucks Fizz song, making your mind up and take it or leave it. Now, similarly with the regional independents, so that is Dennis Nocton's group, in effect, they're an HTD group, and they are currently meeting with the three party leaders, and they're likely to be told something similar today. And then we have a third group, which is the rural independents. So that's like sort of Matty McGrath and the Healy Ray brothers. They are basically being told to wait until Monday, and they're effectively last on the list. But it seems to be really a case that in terms of 2020, the parties will be picking and choosing who they want on occasions from the independents. The independents will be something of a sideshow to the bigger drama taking place in the Dáil.
Micheál, if you can bring us bring all this together, please. So on the one hand, we've got the three parties continuously, if not tortuously, working together on the programme for government, which is taking far longer than anyone would have expected. And then on the other hand, you've got independent TDs effectively being marginalised, pushed to the side and told, whenever we do a deal, we'll hand it over. And as Michael Fitzmaurice said, you can take it or leave it, or you can bugger off.
Yeah. It's back to the old days, those kind of deals that we saw in 1997 and 07. And they're more intricate than you think. I know it is nothing akin to what you saw in the last government where independents got ministries. And in some ways, perhaps the expectation was a little off. And you could say, has Denis Naughton, and this will be asked later, made a really bad mistake from his own point of view by so early saying that you needed a third part of that government equation before the independents could get involved. As a result of that unambiguous message, he seems to have squeezed out the bargaining power of the independents from a point where some thought they were going to get into cabinet or at least get a good junior job to now being back to the old Healy Ray deal, as it's called.
Because we did have this idea, and we would have mentioned it in previous podcasts, that there were going to be four legs to this government stool.
Yeah. And there will be, and you'll have 84 if it does get over the line between the three parties, and then you'll have a looser relationship with the independents. The most likely lads that you could see still would be Michael Lowry, Noel Grealish, even though if Michael Lowry does cause some difficulty to the Greens, I don't think it's going to be hugely significant because it will be at such a remove, this type of relationship. And they have gone from the point where you were looking in 07, where Michael Lowry and Jackie Healy-Ray wrote down extensive lists and got them agreed with Bertie Ahern at the time, who signed them as president of Fianna Fáil, not as Taoiseach. Nothing is written down anymore in these kind of agreements because they're seen as too politically dangerous. Indeed, I understand it that if a TD involved in these kinds of understandings, as they're called now, rings up a government department, there will not even be a note taken that call has been made. That's the kind of level that these things exist in. But they do provide access and they do give information to those TDs about the constituency and about issues that are set to be announced by government at the same time as their rivals in the constituency.
Can you tease that out? Because that was the word which Michael Fitzmaurice used in his interview with Áine Lawler, in which he was told there would be access to ministers. So if you happen to be an independent TD in a constituency and I now have access to a minister, what exactly does that mean? And I can hear journalists like Ken Fox saying, what do you mean there isn't a note being taken of this, and a world of transparency where we're supposed to know what's going on?
What it means most frequently is that you ring up a government department and you say that a group of constituents would like to make their case on a certain point, and you set up a meeting. And usually there may not be a trail of the actual call that you've put in. You will have discussions with the minister at a more meaningful level than you would as an opposition backbench TD, because you're in the loop. You're in the loop for the flow of information. And then you will have the capital projects that would be written down in the National Development Plan anyway that were on their way to your constituency, which you now are involved in the delivering of them because you are going to be told when it's happening. And of course, you're going to be lobbying as well. It's just how much further this still has to be stitched together in a more formal way than perhaps Leo Varadkar. Well, it's not to say that he didn't realise it, but he obviously had a different type of working relationship with the last independents compared to those deals that existed in 07 and 97. And there is more formality to them than you might think. In 97 and 07, you had a senior figure in the Taoiseach's office who every week met with the independents at the same time and went through where things were at and what was coming up that week. That man's name was Declan Inglesby, who was an official in the Taoiseach's office for a long time. So you did have that formal structure. Someone will have to keep an eye on this thing, even if it is just four or five TDs. And that appointment will be interesting to watch. Who will get that particular role of keeping this group linked and aligned with government?
Okay, so if you say knowledge is power, if you're to jump over to the United States, if you're inside the Beltway, if you have inside knowledge, then you are in a position of power within the constituency and people may have been attracted. And that may be the attraction for the independent TDs, should they choose to go that way.
And they will need you too. I mean, back in 1997, there was the famous case where Jackie Healy Ray left early on a Thursday evening because they weren't strictly needed for the majority that time.
It's the helicopter
So that's the helicopter story, where a helicopter is sent by the Chief Whip, Seamus Brennan, to land on the Curragh, and Jackie Healy Ray, who's been driven home by Donald Moynihan, Andreas's father, where they have to pull over and let Jackie go back in the helicopter to vote. That shows you, like, they are needed and they will have to stick around, and it could become difficult. So the TDs that sign up to this know that maybe some of the measures, maybe not in the first few months, but soon after, will be unpopular, you know?
Unpopular indeed, which is a lovely segue into some of the other issues which have been discussed in the Dáil today by Leo Varadkar, in some ways preempting a cabinet discussion when it came to the question of pandemic payments. And we learned something about how the cabinet is going to approach this. We thought it may happen tonight in Dublin Castle, but it seems now as if it's been moved in to tomorrow's cabinet meeting. Sander, are we any the wiser?
Yeah, he certainly gave some details today about where they're going with the pandemic payment. We know that this has been looming in terms of a decision that the government has to make, because the payment, as it's set up at the moment, is due to expire on Monday. Now, they had indicated previously that it was going to be extended, but the question is for how long? And the other questions had been raised about part-time workers, some part-time workers better off on this payment. So what he said in the Dáil today was that full-time workers will have the payment extended for months, not weeks. No specific timescale there. He didn't give details of a potential phasing out, which we would expect at some stage, but some detail. And then for part-time workers, he said some will have their payment cut, those who are better off. But he said that nobody will end up with less than they were on when they had their part-time job, as it were. This has been a huge political issue. You know, Sinn Féin's Mary Lou MacDonald pushing it again today, saying it has caused stress and anxiety for people. Those people in the Social Democrats and other parties on the left saying that, the €350 a week payment should be a benchmark. This is what people should be getting when they need the support of the state. So whatever they do, it's going to be unpopular. We're expecting to get more detail tomorrow, because they need to spell out how long it's going on for, but they do want to phase it out eventually. I thought it was interesting that Micheál Martin didn't raise it in his speech, even though it's clearly a live issue. And we're seeing a sort of, you can see the setup as it's happening. They are expecting to be in government, Fianna Fáil, in government with Fine Gael. There's a sort of consultation going on some of those big decisions, perhaps a longer term decision on those payments being taken more likely by the next government, of which Fianna Fáil will be a part. So the leader of the opposition is almost already being handed over to Mary Lou MacDonald, and she is very much taking up that role.
Fiacre, if I can bring you back in, one of the things which Leo Varadkar said in reply to Mary Lou MacDonald was, what are you attacking the government for? Look just across the border in Northern Ireland, how much money they're being paid. Look at left-leaning administrations in other EU member states. They're being paid less than what we're proposing. But to what extent do you think this is a harbinger of things to come? These types of tough decisions, in the week that we learned there was a deficit up to the end of May of €6 billion, and plenty more billions to go in that deficit before the end of the year.
It's very much a sign of things to come. As we've previously said on this podcast, the chair of the Irish Fiscal Advisory Council, Sebastian Barnes, has said a number of times that, look, very difficult decisions are going to have to be made by the next government. You can't spin your way out of economic deficit. It just is what it is. You either take it from one side of things or you take it from another side of things. Now, obviously, with the decision with the COVID-19 welfare payments, the decision that there will be an initial reduction for part-time workers is going to prove, as Sandra was saying, is going to prove very controversial and very difficult for people. There's also going to be very difficult decisions, as Leo Varadkar, I think, was saying in an email that was leaked out, as emails tend to be, to Fine Gael TDs and senators last night. He was saying, look, one of the big issues still to be agreed between the parties is how you repay the debt that has come from the pandemic. How do you front load it, or do you pay it back over with smaller cuts over a longer period of time? Leo Varadkar seems to be edging towards not quite austerity, but not a million miles away from it. And it's certainly something that, in terms of the next government, certainly elements of the Greens will be very uncomfortable with doing anything along those lines. And it's going to really define probably the first months or first couple of years of the next government, if the next government is formed, about how they deal with the financial issues that are facing them and the economic realities that are facing the country.
Okay, Micheál Lehane, if I can bring you back in, we've been talking about Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael a lot. What about our friends in the Greens who do have approaching the next step on their leadership challenge, possibly, at the same time as they're trying to conclude a programme for government? And we have this amazing situation where there are around 3,000 members of the Green Party. We think around 2,500 will have a vote, 500 of them in Northern Ireland, because this is an all-Ireland party. And they will be having this evaluation of who's going to lead them at the same time as they have to take a huge political choice in the very short term about the future direction of a party which was wiped out the last time they went into government.
Yeah, and the choice, it seems, between the two people who helped to rebuild that party, some taking different views as to who was more influential in doing that. Catherine Martin on the ground working, Eamon Ryan obviously doing the same, but with the high profile. I suppose they will try. There does seem to be some way, doesn't there, in their constitution that allows those nominations to take place on Sunday, but yet there's a little gap before there's a declaration that somehow you can buy another bit of time before the leadership contest gets underway in earnest and box it off, try and separate it, even though other parties actually take the most sceptical view of this, how this could possibly be done, that you could be involved in a leadership contest and a government negotiation at the same time. But they will try and do that using the rules of it. But at the same time, it's there in the background, isn't it? Because it is seen that Catherine Martin and then Hazel Chew as well really have to give their backing to this agreement.
She's the chair of the Green Party. But as you say, there is this sort of interesting thing. From the Greens' perspective, they always talk about how democratic they are, that one of the reasons the talks are so long is because they're consulting continuously. Yeah. And on that basis, it wouldn't make that much of a difference who's leader, because they act as a collective. How much water does that hold with maybe other political parties?
Oh, the other political parties just can't fathom this at all. They can't get their heads around it. It's just, is there enough under the rules of the Green Party to keep this on track? Or does an accommodation, I suppose, have to be reached between Eamon Ryan and Catherine Martin to get the agreement, as we expect may happen early next week, over the line? What you hear from those within the Green Party is that Eamon Ryan will agree to the text before he's even seeing it. That's what some of his critics internally would say, while Catherine Martin will take a different view. But they equally say Catherine Martin is not a Ruth Coppinger or Richard Boyd Barrett. She's not opposed to the idea of going into government. That isn't a core thing for her. So if there's enough there, if there's something there that leaps off the page, because when the programme for government is written, it's being able to see those green lines in the clearest terms in it. And you do feel it will have to be more than the 7% and average cut of greenhouse emissions. Mm-hmm. There's going to have to be two or three more things that are identifiably green. You think progress is being made on them. Direct provision all the time seems to be, that seems to be agreed now. Taoiseach kind of indicating that in the Dáil as well today.
We've only got a couple of minutes left, so just back to our quick fire, completely unfair questions, which I really enjoy asking. Coming to you first, I was looking at Seymour Hersh's book called Reporter, published 2 years ago. And in the introduction, he says the two deadliest words in media are "I believe." So just to ask you that, what do you believe is going to happen when it comes to government formation with a deadline of Tuesday or Wednesday of next week? Do you believe it's going to happen or do you believe it's not?
I believe it's going to happen, yeah. I believe there will be an agreement on Tuesday or Wednesday.
By Tuesday, Wednesday, not Thursday?
By Tuesday or Wednesday, yeah.
Okay, Fiacco Ciona, can you bring us up to date in 60 seconds on a rather bizarre bit of video which came out of the European Parliament, which featured an Irish MEP trying to address a committee on matters of agriculture, but it went viral not on the basis of what he said, but how he looked?
Well, this is in effect, so last year we were obsessed with Brexit, and it seems this June we're obsessed with Lexit. So this was obviously the MEP, the Irish MEP, Luke Ming Flanagan, who is no stranger to controversy. He, as you said, he was doing a remote committee meeting, and he was dressed perfectly fine on the top half of himself. On the bottom half of himself, he was somewhat more relaxed in his garments. He received some criticism, some tongue-in-cheek criticism. He himself was saying he never realised his legs were such a big controversy. And he was saying his explanation was, look, he was out for a run. He came back late. He was still wearing his shorts, and that's the way it is. But you always have to be aware, of course, of politicians, that politicians would do anything for publicity. And Luke Ming Flanagan certainly got a lot of publicity this week.
Yeah, I think he actually went on to say that he was considering whether he should get his legs insured given the amount of sort of social media traffic which had arrived out of that video. Sandra Hurley, I won't ask you about being Flanagan's legs. I will ask you unfairly once again about Leo Varadkar in the Dáil today talking about the government maybe trying to speed up their opening up of the economy, maybe parts of 4 into 3, maybe parts of phase 3 into part 2, and phase 2 is supposed to happen on Monday. So where do you think that's at?
Yeah, I think it was curious because in Leo Varadkar's speech, he seemed to be dampening down expectations that
concerned
things were, you
by
know,
what people were saying. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. So he was sort of hinting that things wouldn't be accelerated. Then in response to a question from Eamon Ryan, he said they were looking at possibly bringing some elements, bringing them up in through the different stages in terms of the roadmap. But what they've done is they've asked NPHET for specific proposals on that. And that's interesting because are they looking for a cover to either make a decision or to say they can't make, you know, they can't bring things forward? It does seem to be looking that way, that they are looking for a cover in that way. And of course, but they have been pushed on from both within and outside Leinster House for them to make the decisions. Obviously, NPHET gives conservative public health advice. That's what they do. But the government has to take into consideration the other things.
The sovereignty of the cabinet. We've been talking about that.
I think
it's
worth noting, though, isn't it? This could be the last cabinet meeting where Leo Varadkar is Taoiseach in the sense of making decisions on easing of restrictions. What's been a feature through his career, he's cautious. And I think the notion that Leo Varadkar would take a major gamble on one of the last big decisions he's going to make, where the stakes could be so high if it backfired, that won't happen.
But we'll be able to sort of come back to that next Thursday and put your own words back to you, Micheál Lahan, see if you're right. But that's all the time we have for you today on Your Politics Podcast from RT News. I'd like to thank our contributors, Sandra Hurley, Fiacar O'Kiona, and also Micheál Lahan. The real presenter, Maggie Doyle, is going to be coming back next Thursday. I'll be on the other side of the table, and no doubt some tough questions will be put to me instead. Until then, take care. Bye-bye.